There's nothing more we can do, they told him. Although I understand why his doctors were reluctant to try out my ideas, he had lost so much weight by the time I met him, I actually believe there is almost always something that can be done. Unfortunately, the system is not always set up to allow this. Sadly, I wasn't able to intervene in his case, and he has since passed away. I don't know what would have happened to the Air France pilot, the judge in Los Angeles, or the Times journalist if they had not tried fasting-based diets, but I suspect they would not have done as well as they did. At the same time, there is an official and appropriate process of identifying medical interventions, large randomized trials, FDA approval, etc., that is as important as trying new and creative interventions, and which cannot be ignored. Thus, when there are no viable options, it is important to adopt a therapeutic compromise that is respectful of the official methods, but which carefully considers integrative therapies based on sufficient scientific and safety data. I am confident, thanks to evidence from the five pillars, that our FMD and other nutritional and integrative approaches will continue to help people remain healthy and or become healthier by acting on the ability of the body to regenerate and rejuvenate itself. I also hope our longevity studies and others coming out of my colleagues' labs will bring swift implementation by medical doctors and dietitians who are in a position to act on new, proven, low-cost integrative treatments. My favorite novel is Luigi Pirandello's One, None, and 100,000. The book's premise is marvelously simple. If no one knows you, in some way you don't exist. But if 100,000 people know you, there are 100,000 versions of you living in their heads. I see our work in the same way. If we make a discovery that helps no one, then in a way we haven't discovered anything at all. But if our discovery helps 100,000 people live longer and healthier, then our discoveries live in the people who are alive or healthier because of them. So I hope that this book will sell as well in the rest of the world as it has sold in Italy, not only because I hope it will help many people reach old age in good health, but also because 100% of my royalties from the sale will be donated to support our continued multidisciplinary studies. Below, I briefly summarize the most important findings and conclusions of our research. The Longevity Diet. 1. Eat a mostly vegan diet with some fish. Strive for a 100% plant and fish-based diet, but limit fish consumption to 2 or 3 meals a week and avoid fish with high mercury content. After age 65 to 70, if you start losing muscle mass, strength, and weight, add more fish and fruit and introduce animal-based foods like eggs, cheese, and yogurt made from sheep's or goat's milk. 2. Consume low but sufficient proteins. Consume approximately 0.31 to 0.36 grams of protein per pound of body weight per day. If you weigh 100 pounds, that is about 31 to 36 grams of protein per day, of which 30 grams should be consumed in a single meal to maximize muscle synthesis. If you weigh 200 pounds and have 35% body fat, 60 grams of protein per day are instead sufficient, considering that it is the lean body mass that utilizes most of the proteins. Protein intake should be raised slightly after age 65 to 70 in individuals who are losing weight and muscle. 3. Minimize bad fats and sugars and maximize good fats and complex carbs. The diet should be rich in good unsaturated fats, including those from salmon, almonds, and walnuts, but very poor in bad saturated, hydrogenated, and trans fats. Likewise, the diet should be rich in complex carbohydrates, such as those provided by whole bread and vegetables, but poor in sugars and limited in pasta, rice, white bread, fruit juices, and fruits containing carbohydrates that are easily converted into simple sugars. Finally, the diet should be low in animal proteins but relatively high in vegetable proteins in order to minimize the former's negative effects on diseases and maximize the latter's nourishing effects. 4. Be nourished. The body needs protein, essential fatty acids, omega-3 and omega-6, minerals, vitamins, and sufficient sugar to fight the many wars going on inside and outside cells. To be sure you get enough nutrients, every 3 days take a multivitamin and a mineral pill, plus an omega-3 fish oil soft gel purchased from a reputable manufacturer. 5. Eat at the table of your ancestors. Consume a variety of foods to take in all the required nutrients, but choose the ones that were common on the table of your parents, grandparents, and great-grandparents, so long as they are included in the longevity diet. 6. Eat twice a day plus a snack. Unless your waist circumference and body weight are in the normal or low range, it is best to eat breakfast plus one other meal a day and one low-calorie, low-sugar, nourishing snack. If your weight or muscle mass is too low, then eat 3 meals a day plus a snack. 7. Time-restricted eating. Restrict your eating to 11 to 12 hours or less per day. For example, if you eat breakfast after 8 a.m., finish dinner before 8 p.m. Shorter periods of feeding, 10 hours or less, have been shown to be even more effective in promoting health, but they are much more difficult to comply with and may increase the risk of side effects, such as the formation of gallstones. 8. Periodic, prolonged, fasting-mimicking diets. People who are under 70 years of age, not frail or malnourished, and free of certain diseases should undergo 5-day periods during which they consume a relatively high-calorie, fasting-mimicking diet, see Chapter 6. An FMD may also be appropriate for older people, but only if needed and if a medical doctor recommends it. 9. Follow steps 1 through 8 in such a way that you reach and maintain a waist circumference of less than 35.5 inches for men and less than 29.5 inches for women. This is higher than the ideal 33 inches and 27 inches cited earlier, but it is more realistic and should still be very effective in reducing disease risk while avoiding malnourishment. Exercise for longevity. Walk fast 1 hour per day. Take the stairs instead of escalators and elevators, even if you have to go up many flights. On the weekend, try to walk even to faraway places, but avoid polluted areas. Do moderate exercise for 2.5 hours a week, some of it in the vigorous range. Do weight training or weight-free exercises to strengthen muscles, combined with 30 grams of protein intake following the weight training. A long-lived mind. I have written very little in this book about the mind. I am not an expert in this area, and I find that studies investigating how the mind can help us live longer and healthier are few and inconclusive. Although there are many studies on social aspects of longevity, it would be difficult to find a set of consistent, basic, clinical, epidemiological, and centenarian studies supporting a major role for a particular social behavior in healthy longevity. In the absence of strong scientific data, I surmise that staying close to family members and friends, belonging to religious or spiritual organizations, and volunteering to help others are all important to a long and healthy life. However, I have also seen many lonely people live long and healthy lives, probably because they focus on simple pleasures and obtain strength from their own instincts and ability to find happiness in little things, eating certain foods, walking in the park, talking to the cashier at the local grocery store. My father, who is 91, recently had part of his stomach removed because of a suspected tumor. He is separated from my mother and lives alone. His recovery was difficult and he was losing weight for several weeks. So he started eating chocolate and other treats he had enjoyed in his youth but had not indulged in for many years. He resumed a daily exercise regimen. He not only regained the weight he had lost, but he also sounded happier when we spoke and looked forward to each day. Making it to 110 in good health, in my father's case, is less about social connections and great friendships and more about simple things, like that long-forbidden chocolate bar. In the case of Salvatore Caruso, who watched my father grow up, It was about competition. He wanted to be the oldest man in the world. When I informed him that someone in Sicily was older, he said, "I have to beat him." And he eventually did. Salvatore, someday I hope to beat you. I'll see you on the other side, old friend. I hope it's a very long time from now. This concludes the reading of The Longevity Diet. Discover the new science behind stem cell activation and regeneration to slow aging, fight disease, and optimize weight by Walter Longo, Ph.D. Copyright 2018 by Walter Longo. This book was read by Keith Sellenwright, a member of SAG-AFTRA. This unabridged audiobook was recorded by arrangement with Avery, an imprint of Penguin Publishing Group, a division of Penguin Random House, LLC, and was produced in 2018 by Blackstone Publishing, which holds the copyright. Neither this recording nor any portion of it may be reproduced or used for any purpose without prior written authorization from Blackstone Publishing. If you would like to obtain a monthly update telling you about new releases, call 1-800-SAY-BOOK. That's 1-800-729-2665. For a complete listing of our titles, visit our website at www.downpour.com. Thank you.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.